season called Brett Camp. No open fires here, though. This class will be a fun way for newbies and pros to enjoy baking bread together. They'll have four classes for you to attend, starting with the first class on January 26th. You'll make a different bread in each class, so come to them all. Visit EmporiaRec.org for all of the Bread Camp dates and register online by January 23rd for the first class or call 620-340-6300.
Don't feel bad if you're not a phone expert. That's what we're here for. At Nextech Wireless, we'll help you in the transition to a new device step by step. Want to customize the screen? We've got you. Have questions about some of the functions? We're happy to help. You're not just another number to us. Come see us today and we'll get you into the best phone for your needs. We're friends. We're neighbors. We are Kansas. Nextech Wireless.
KVOE's emergency traffic and mobile news reports are brought to you by Floyd's Incorporated. For all of your auto body and auto repair needs, it's Floyd's 1221 Industrial.
KVOE live and local, and welcome to the Buzz. Not the Buzz. Showcase. We can showcase, yeah. We just buzzed last week, didn't we? So
yeah,
it's time for the USD 253 Emporia Showcase with Superintendent Allison Anderson Harder, brought to you this morning by Emporia State Federal Credit Union, Lyon County's leading mortgage lender.
Emporia State Federal Credit Union, the educated choice, better rates, a better return. Because you're an owner, that's what you'll earn. The difference is clear, it's easy to see. It's your financial institution for the educational community. Emporia State Federal Credit Union, the educated choice.
And welcome to the showcase here with USD 253 Superintendent Allison Anderson Harder for the month of January. Allison, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Ron and Chuck. How are both of you?
Doing well.
Fine today. Good to have you in studio with us for our program here this morning, as we'll be, I guess, touching on School Board Recognition Month. And we have a pair of USD 253 School Board members this morning that we'll be chatting with in just a couple of moments. But first, we kick off the show, as we always do, with some hashtag Emporia Proud moments. Never a lack of them to talk about. And Anderson, what do you have for us here?
Well, last week Emporia High School announced its 2023 winter sport candidates, and we would like to congratulate each of these students who participate in EHS clubs and winter athletic clubs and who were nominated by their peers. On Friday evening, between the girls and boys basketball games, Mia Crouch was announced as a winter sports queen, and Drew Hess and Brian Antonio Cruz were both announced as a winter sports king through a tie in the votes for king this year. So that was a fun twist.
Yeah. Cool deal.
This past Friday afternoon, Emporia Middle School hosted its school spelling bee. Congratulations to J.T. Tucker, Cora Barrett, and Connor McBride, who will be representing EMS at the Lyon County Spelling Bee on February the 7th. We would also like to provide a brief construction update. Emporia Middle School is 38% complete. Crews are working to frame the new administrative office space, finish hanging drywall in the science wing, and have begun working on the roof of the new gymnasium storm shelter. And watching that go up was pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. Village Elementary is 37% complete. Crews are installing soundproofing panels in the new gymnasium storm shelter, finishing restroom flooring, and beginning to demo the space for new administrative offices. Final construction documents were received for Riverside Elementary and Timmerman Elementary before winter break. Drawings for both buildings are currently out for bid, and programming is tentatively scheduled to begin in February at William Allen White Elementary. So we are moving along. Congratulations to Emporia High School students Maddox Misek and Alan Martinez, who placed third this past week in the state debate tournament.
Well done.
Really proud of our debaters. They did an amazing job. The Emporia Middle School will be sponsoring a blood drive on February the 6th at the Nazarene Church. If you're interested in donating blood, go to the Red Cross website, link to schedule an appointment. And then our school district is currently hiring for bus driver positions and food service staff. If that sounds like something you'd be interested in, please visit our school website and click on the career opportunities link to apply, or you may contact our human resources human resources office by calling 620 341-2330. You know, we have great kids and great parents, and so working in food service and bus drivers is an opportunity that's a lot of fun. I just also want to clarify that if you drive a route for a bus, you don't have to drive activities, or if you prefer to only drive activities and not a route, you can do that too. So it's not an all or none. For those that are interested in driving a bus, the district will be offering CDL trainings on Saturdays, and we will be announcing those dates soon.
All right.
Good list.
Love that construction update. 37% complete in Village, 38%.
And that's impressive to go by those two schools to see what's out front, honestly.
A lot happening.
See, we're getting 38, 37%. We've got this down to science now, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Not 40, 38%. Yeah, they're doing fine work. So, and progress, obviously, is being made. So thank you, Allison, for the hashtag Emporia Proud Moments. Always a good way to kick off the showcase program that you hear monthly on KVOE. We'd like to welcome now to the program, as I mentioned, School Board Recognition Month is upon us, and we have a pair of USD 253 school board members with us this morning. Leslie Seeley is a board member, board president. Leslie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having us today.
Good to have you here. Pull that a little bit closer. And we also have with us this morning school board member Jamie Reber. Jamie, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having us today.
Thanks for being here. Thanks for taking some time to join us. So School Board Recognition Month.
Yep.
Good time to recognize all the hard work that they do.
Agreed. Jamie, I guess we're going to start with you today after conversations off air. But for folks that don't know, how long have you been on the school board and what prompted you to run?
And I just finished my first year on the school board, and I think like a lot of people who run for school board, I wanted to make sure that our kids had the best education possible, and I really wanted to make sure that teachers and staff, you know, received the most support that they could. And the first year on school board has been really rewarding, a lot of fun, a lot of hard work, but I'm so glad he did it.
I have to ask, because I think a lot of people see you guys every 2 weeks, year-end session for, you know, maybe an hour if you're lucky, sometimes up to 4 hours if you're not, depending on the agenda. But aside from that, how much work are you putting in to really ensure that the school district is moving forward on the different concerns of the day and, you know, the different concerns that go well beyond the day?
You know, that's what took me by surprise was the time commitment. You know, as an outsider just tuning into school board meetings, especially in, you know, 2020, 2021, you know, you kind of just assumed that, you know, school board members show up, you know, on the second and fourth Wednesday of the month. They sit there for a two-hour meeting, and then their work is done. And it has been eye-opening to see the level of commitment and all the work that happens behind the scenes. You know, each school board member serves on a lot of different committees. I serve on the Building Futures Executive Committee, which is the building committee that, you know, oversees all of the construction that's been happening. I serve on, you know, interest-based bargaining. I am also on the Child Care Committee. And then I also serve as the school district's representative to the Emporia Community Foundation. And that's on top of, you know, just all of the emails that we get, all the packets we get, and, of course, our meetings with Dr. Harder. It is a lot more time than I ever thought, and that has been really eye-opening.
Well, there's a lot of homework to be done.
Yes, there is.
We have, you know, worked close with school board members over the years, and quite frankly, if you don't do your homework, you're going to stick out like a sore thumb.
100%, yes.
So there's a lot of work, a lot of work to be done just besides the meetings to make sure you're prepared and can answer all the questions and give the input you need to be an effective board member. Let's just put that to rest right now. But, Jamie, when you decided to run, we were in COVID, and there was a lot of activity. And we can talk to Leslie about this briefly, but it wasn't, I think, a very smooth time for school board members with the COVID. Masking, not masking, kids in school, kids learning from home, a lot of pressure and a lot of feedback, positive and negative, from the Emporia community. So you still decided to jump in at that point.
I sure did.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, and I think it's a good reminder that when we run for school board and when we serve on school board, we can't just be one-issue candidates. We can't be one-issue school board members. You know, we have to, you know, think about our own love of education, what we want for our community, and what we want for our kids. And I had wanted to serve on school board for a long time, and it just never really worked out. And I did jump in 2021 because I really wanted to be the candidate and the school board member that, you know, wanted to, you know, watch out for everyone, make sure that our schools were safe, but also to really think long term about the education in our schools.
What has been the biggest challenge this year? Because it seems like COVID policy is pretty much, well, I don't want to say it's off the table, but it doesn't have nearly the public focus that it did the last couple of years. So I guess what's been the biggest challenge for you here as far as issues so far, I guess maybe the last year, perhaps even just shorten it down to the last 6 months?
You know, Leslie might have a different answer than I do, but I think being a new school board member is a challenge. There's a lot to learn in a quick amount of time. I don't know anyone who could read our budget in an hour and say, I've got it all figured out. So just, you know, knowing all the homework that has to be done, understanding, you know, our role as school board members, understanding the role of the administration, understanding the finances and the policies. But also, you know, I like to make things happen. I love to have things move fast. And when you're on school board, you know, it's a big ship. You know, it's kind of like the Titanic without the iceberg, you know, where it's just really hard to, like, move as quickly as people think we should, because we have to do our due diligence on every single topic. So I wouldn't say that that's a challenge as much of it as it's probably my biggest learning.
So what do you enjoy most about serving on the board?
Oh, so many things. You know, I love being able to learn more about our programs, getting to know our teachers and staff. And I love being able to help make decisions that are going to shape the future. We have so much to be proud of. And sometimes it's easy to get caught up in what isn't happening right. But there's so much more that is going right in our schools. And, you know, I have two kids. You know, my youngest is a junior at Emporia High School, another who is a freshman in college. And I just see how well Emporia Public Schools has served them. And it's just kind of my way of giving back because I believe in our schools.
What about rating the quality of our educators in USD 253 and the challenges that you see that I know you hear from Allison in recruiting teachers, which has been difficult and continues to be challenging?
You know, I have an interesting position because, you know, through my work at Kansas Appleseed, I get to travel around the state. And part of our work is to work on child nutrition programs in schools. So I get to go into schools across the state and I get to learn about them. And I think that gives me a really great vantage point to see what's happening here in Emporia. And, you know, we are really lucky. We have, you know, every school district is really lucky, but because I'm from Emporia, I get to brag about what we do. You know, we have really committed teachers. They are working so hard. And, you know, and every chance I get, I just try to thank them and acknowledge the hard work and how it hasn't been easy these past couple of years. But the most important thing that we can do as parents and as community members is remember that they are here for all the right reasons. They want to be here. They're taking care of our kids every single day. They're teaching them. They're preparing them for our future. And, you know, I would say to anyone who's looking for a job, you know, thinking about, you know, teaching, you know, come to Emporia because we have a great community, we have a great support system, and the partnership, you know, between school board and schools and the administration and our family members, it's pretty amazing. And so I might be biased, but I feel like I have a little bit of knowledge to see what's going on around the state, and we should be proud.
One other question here, Jamie, is, you know, when you get information from community stakeholders, I guess, what is your process? And it obviously is going to depend on what information you get, but what's your process in handling that, whether it's talking with Allison or the board cabinet or talking with fellow board members on how to proceed?
You know, we receive communications from community members in all different forms, you know, email, Facebook messages, text, phone calls, running into me at the basketball game on Friday night. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we hear from a lot of people, and I love that because I love to see that people are really interested in what's going on in our schools and concerned and have concerns. I think what's so interesting is there's perception and there's reality. So many times an individual will come to me with a problem, and then we'll talk through it, and they'll realize, oh, what they had heard wasn't necessarily the case. And so, you know, just being able to problem solve things with them and helping them see a different side. But, you know, one of the things that we do as school board members is always try to, you know, redirect the individual, you know, just to remind them, hey, you know, I know you have this concern about this school. How about you go to the principal and talk talk to them, or, you know, go to Dr. Harder. Because as school board members, you know, we were told when we had our orientation through the Kansas Association of School Board Members, Kansas Association of School Board Association, we have to have a really high-level view. You know, they talked about us being in the watchtower, mm-hmm. and that is really important that we stay there and, you know, we don't try to get in the weeds and solve every problem. And so, you know, we just want to make sure everyone goes to the appropriate person who can solve their individual problem.
USD 253 School Board Member Jamie Reaver, as we acknowledge our school board members here, USD 253. It is School Board Recognition Month. We should mention, Chuck, who the other school board members are: Jeremy Dorsey, Art Gutierrez, Jennifer Thomas, Grant Riles, and Lillian Lingenfelter. All do fine work on the board for USD 253. And we're also joined this morning by Leslie Seeley, who's been, can we say, longtime board member now, Leslie?
3 years. It feels like a really long time.
I bet it has. Well, long enough to be the board president.
Yes,
now.
Yes.
So, how's that been so far?
You know, it was, there wasn't a lot of people clamoring for that position this year, but I was grateful for the opportunity. And
didn't have to scratch it.
That's right. No, I didn't have to really do any politicking to get into that this year. But I am grateful for the opportunity.
What prompted you to run the first time, and what's, I guess, kept you not only, you know, on the board, but, you know, now taking officially the leadership role here for the year?
Sure. So I'm a product of Emporia Public Schools. I'm a Walnut kid. Love 253. My kids are here in 253. I've always been really passionate about public education. Was very involved with the Walnut School PTO, and just doing everything I can to support teachers and students. And so school board felt like a natural progression for me. Had a lot of friends and community members encourage me to do that. I had thought about it the previous election cycle, but just wasn't quite ready for that, to take on that opportunity. But when it came up again, I thought, okay, well, this is my time if I'm going to do it. Little did I know what was coming for me, but not that anyone possibly could have known. But I am grateful that I was able to serve the district through some of those really hard times.
So how difficult was the COVID high-intensity era that you were involved with as a school board member? How tough was that?
It was hard. You know, we're a community of really passionate people, and we had passionate people on both sides of a lot of top of the issues that we were dealing with related to COVID. But I couldn't just be on my side. And so it was great. A great learning opportunity for me, an experience to be able to listen to people and show compassion and empathy and let them share their views and their perspectives, even if I didn't agree. So I would say that it was a very hard time, but I think we're on the upside now. And as long as we can keep moving forward, I think we're going to be okay.
Well, as school board members, and you obviously experience this, when you're dealing with parents' kids,
yes,
that's the most important thing in their lives. So right. You're going to hear,
yes,
what they think.
We love our kids. We love our kids, and we want. We're glad that we have so many parents who feel so strongly in about their kids and their education and their safety.
I have to ask you, kind of riffing off the question that I asked Jamie here about just kind of the amount of time spent out of board meetings, using COVID as an example. How much time did you have to spend kind of with your research or board research on best practices going forward, specifically related to COVID?
You know, it's a blur of all that time. Well, you know, you're like, how long ago was that? And when was that, the 2021 school year or 2021-22? Uh-huh. It's hard to remember. But I feel like for a time we were having weekly meetings, which, you know, was unheard of. You know, we had a lot of board members who had a lot more experience than me at the time, and they could never remember a time we had had so many meetings. And like Jamie said, you don't just show up to the meeting. So there was a lot of reading to do ahead of time and emails to read and things to consider. But I do want to focus on, you know, you had asked, Jamie, how do you communicate with other board members and the board cabinet? Right. And we're in a really tight spot so many of the times because people think that we can just talk about whatever and riff off each other and figure it out. But we're limited. You can't ever talk to more than two board members about a topic. Unless
not
you're in a public
time,
meeting.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So I can't email the whole board or send them all a text and be like, so what do you guys think on this? How are you going to vote? We're not allowed to do that or we're violating the Kansas Open Meetings Act. So that proves to be really difficult because when you go in a meeting, you really don't know how everyone feels. You can kind of guess. But yeah, you don't just get to ask everybody straight out, hey, what do you think?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure you did your research before you decided to go ahead and run, but were you surprised at the hours of preparation and time commitments? Did it surprise you?
Yes, I was a little surprised. Art Gutierrez was a person who really encouraged me to run, and he did tell me that it was a pretty big time commitment. I tried to pass that along to Jamie, but I don't think until you're in it that you truly understand how much is involved. Like she mentioned, the committees, and it's really great that we all have the chance to serve on those committees because we get to know teachers and administration that we might not meet otherwise, but it is a lot of hours to put in each week.
Speaking of that, just talk about that commitment to Emporia Public Schools. I mean, you had the desire to serve the district, you know, being involved with Walnut, being an Emporia native, but talk about that overall commitment to USD 253.
Well, like Jamie said, we have an amazing school district. We have really great students, dedicated, loving, hardworking teachers and administration. I truly believe that everyone who works for our district wants to see the kids succeed and want to deliver the best possible education that we can. And I'm grateful to be able to help in any way that I can to support those people so that we can give them what they need to help our kids be successful.
What are the biggest challenges facing USD 253 at this point?
I would say staffing. I would love to see, I'm going to kind of tie into my goals. At first I thought, oh yeah, I'll say special ed too, because that's really important to me, especially I have a nephew who has autism.
And local legislators, is that what you're saying?
Yes,
right,
yes, yes. I do have a nephew who has autism, and I do feel like he gets some really great services, but I know how important special education funding is. And so that's a huge challenge and priority and goal. But more than that, I would love to see every bus driver position, every food service position, every para, every teacher position filled so that we have strategists who are able to go back to strategizing and working with kids because we're not able to give them everything that we want to. We can give them what they need, but not everything that we want to give beyond the minimum, right? If we don't have every position filled. So anything we can do to get people into those jobs would be amazing.
What do you see as the greatest accomplishments here for the board during your time over the last 3 years?
You know, last year I said was that none of us just quit. That none of us just walked out the door.
I've had enough of them.
Right? Yeah, because there were times when that was really hard. I think what I'm most proud of our current board is that we have really productive meetings. That can seem not that big of a deal, but when you hear news stories about other school boards in other states and other communities, and you see how productive we are and how well we work together and how professional we conduct ourselves during meetings and outside of meetings, I'm very proud of our board for that.
So you like your fellow board members?
I do. Okay. I do.
Yeah. You can be honest.
Yes. I am. I'm serious. No, I really do. It's we're all different. And so, and we all come from different backgrounds. We all have different jobs, which we do all have jobs, by the way. Some people don't know that we also all have actual jobs. But no, I do. I really like working with every single member on our board.
Well, what do you like most about serving on the USD 253 board?
Just the chance to advocate for public education and for how amazing I think 253 is, and to show my support. Right now, the thing I love most is the kids who come at the beginning of every single meeting. We started adding that in October, I think, and so we have a program highlight. We've gotten to see kids from YMONY and Logan and Riverside and the debate team, some other groups. It's been so much fun. That's why we do this. So to start every single meeting with them, that is my favorite thing right now.
I have to ask about, you know, because every so often you guys have concerns about school issues, and maybe it's on a much more regular basis than I just painted it. But what is the process? And is there a way to go about that with a board member and a way not to go about that with a board member?
For specifically?
Just basically like school concerns specifically.
Sure, sure. We, and Jamie mentioned it, we do get a lot of emails from parents who are concerned and community members. And it really is about following the chain of command. We think when we come in as board members, oh, well, we're just going to fix it. And that's really hard when you are naturally a fixer and you want to fix that and push it through and get it done. And you want to fix every problem for every person who contacts you. But we do have to go through a process. And so directing them back to the principal at their building. And if not there, then to Allison or maybe to Jared. You know, it just depends on the situation. But yeah, we can't, as much as we'd love to, we can't just swoop in and think we're going to fix every problem, because that's not our role. It's just not.
And it has to be a real positive for the school district and students and staff to see all of this construction moving forward.
Yeah.
Nice to have new things, isn't it?
Yes, huh? It is. And the kids take so much pride in their new spaces. The open house at Walnut, I don't think we had a ton of community members, but if we ever have another one, I would encourage people to swing by. The high school, the new spaces out there, the science wing is amazing. I'm excited for the new gym at the middle school. Yeah.
Well, and Allison, I would assume that's, you know, all the new additions to virtually all schools in the district cannot hurt in recruiting.
Oh, absolutely. And Jones Early Childhood Development Center.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, gorgeous.
Yeah. We are getting requests from across the state to come in and see it, because we have, that is one building that was built specifically for early childhood. That is unique for the state of Kansas. We have done a lot of work. And so I do also want to highlight that we updated our strategic plan. Looked at our enrollment study. Staffing is something that other large districts are dealing with as well. And so, but we have a lot of great reasons to come to Emporia. Yeah, there's been a lot of work. And I also want to highlight that board members do not get paid. They do this for free. So sometimes there's a misunderstanding, and I think Jamie and Leslie field those questions every once in a while about how much they get paid. So it's not always warm fuzzies. So it's not in monetary value or just the intrinsic.
Well, a lot of good things happening.
Yes.
In USD 253, and we want to thank you both for your service, because it is just that. It is an outstanding service you're providing to this community and our kids and their families. So thank you both for all you do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And it was good to have you both in here. So
thanks
great
so much.
To talk to Jamie Reaver. And also Leslie Seeley, USD 253 board members, and also acknowledge Jeremy Dorsey, Art Gutierrez, Jen Thomas, Grant Riles, and Lillian Linkenfelter for their service to the board.
Absolutely. And Allison, thank you again for coming in here this month.
Absolutely. We always appreciate the opportunity to highlight the great things happening in Emporia, USD 253.
And our showcase brought to you this morning by Emporia State Federal Credit Union, Lyon County's leading mortgage lender. It's 8:54. Good morning.
Investigations into the documents found in President Biden's home and at an office building in Washington, D.C. The White House says it is cooperating.